Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27. The Bible says this, it says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye may stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God." Heavenly Father, I pray as we enter into the preaching part of the service, I ask, Lord, that your spirit would fall upon the place. God, I ask you'd help me as I preach. Lord, I need your help. And Lord, I don't want to do anything to damage anybody or a ministry here. This ministry has been such a blessing to me personally. And God, I ask that I just be an encouragement, a help, a strengthening tonight. Lord, I pray that people will be open and receptive to your word. Lord, help them not to listen to Derek Lowen tonight. Help them listen to Jesus Christ. In the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me just give you a little bit of intro to this passage. Philippians is a book that's written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and he's writing from jail. How fun, you know? And what an amazing book this is, him writing from jail, basically, and he writes a whole book on joy, how to have joy. And if this guy can talk about joy from jail, then I think we have no excuse, pretty much, to have droopy faces or Eeyore attitudes. And Philippians chapter 1 is an encouraging start to this book, and I really believe the key verse for the entire chapter is verse 21, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I mean, the Apostle Paul sums that up and just says, look, everything for me is Christ. That's it, my life. Whether I live or whether I die, it's all about him. And so as we look at this particular verse, number 27, I want you to kind of keep that in mind, that to Paul, Christ was everything. In verse number 27 here, let me read it again. It says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Here when it talks about striving together, the thought behind that particular phrase there, striving together, is actually an athletic type thought behind it, particularly a wrestling type thought. And but I looked at that, and when I think of wrestling, I think of a one-on-one competition, don't you? Just one mano a mano, you know? The two fat guys rolling around on the ground in skinny tights, you know? Has everybody got a good mental picture of that? I'm sorry, I apologize. And anyway, so mano a mano. But that's not what it's talking about in this particular passage. It's not talking about a one-on-one contest. It's talking about people that are gathered together. A team-type effort. And so I thought, well, what sport represents wrestling, a wrestling-type pattern, but it's a team sport? And so as I pondered this and thought about it, there's only one sport that I could really think of that really represents it, and it is not football. It's rugby. And so rugby is one of those sports. Has anybody ever watched rugby, like on TV or something? How many of you have ever seen rugby? Like five of you. Okay, great. And so five of you will understand what I'm talking about. The rest of you will catch it here in a second. Rugby is a strange sport. It really is. And when you watch it, you look at it and go, what are they doing? They're just rolling around on the ground, and all of a sudden the ball pops out. And that's kind of how it works most of the time, especially when you watch junior high kids do it. It's pretty funny to watch them do it. And but what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and illustrate what this passage is talking about here real quickly, and then I'll give you a few points to help kind of solidify everything. But I'm going to need some help for that. And so I need somebody that's big and strong and strapping to come be my adversary for a moment. And so the guy I thought of, the one that can help me with that is Max. Max, can you come up here and help me? Amen. This guy is going to beat me up. All right. And bring your cousin, too. Bring him along with you. All right. All right. Look at them. They're all serious. They're ready to take me on. Okay. So, Max, come on up here, and you just stand right here for now. Okay. And you're going to stand right up here in front, okay? You're going to face me. You're going to face me. Okay, don't look at them. They're ugly. All right? This is much better. Okay? And so, if we were going to wrestle.
Do you like to wrestle, Max?
You don't like to wrestle? I know your dad. All right? And so, if we were going to be in a contest, and I was on one team and Max was on the other team, and this is obviously an unfair advantage. Max is going to beat me. No, I'm just joking. Okay, so what we would do if we were in rugby, if we were going to, we would lock kind of like this. Just put your hands around my head like that. Okay, yeah, just like that, a headlock, okay? And what he would try and do is push me over. Go ahead, try and push me over. Go ahead, as hard as you can. Oh, you are bigger than I thought. No, I'm just joking. All right. And so if he was pushing, this would be an unfair advantage. You know, I'd just kind of. And I win. All right. Okay, you stand right there. So Max is not going to win, right? Max is not going to win. So he's going to need some help. So he's enlisting the help of his cousin here, okay? And so both of them, what they're going to do is you're going to put your arm around him like this, and you're going to put your arm. Okay, you got it there. Okay, and I'm going to put my head like in between you, okay? Now push. Okay, push forward. Push forward like you're. Okay, that's much better. Now, it's still an unfair advantage for me, so I can push them down. That's not going to work. Okay, you guys stand right there. You guys lock in just like you were. Okay, put your arm around him. Okay, so I need your help. Okay, you're going to go on the other side. Oh, boy. Okay, and so Max is going to put his arm underneath you right there, and you're going to put your arm right around there. You guys are all locked together now, okay? And so now you guys are going to push me. Okay, this is getting harder. Okay, but I can still push him. I can still push him, okay? Okay, now you three together, okay? You stay there. Now I need your help, okay? And I need your help, and I need your help. Okay, all three of you. Okay, you're going to go behind them. Go behind them. Okay. Okay, and what you're going to do is you're going to lock in. You're going to kneel down. Kneel down. All the way down. Kneel on one leg. Okay. You're going to kind of put your shoulder right here. Okay. Okay. And you're going to do the same thing on this side. You kneel down, and you're going to put your shoulder right there. And you're going to kneel down behind him, and you're going to push from the middle. Okay. You guys got to all lock in together. Put your arm around him on this side. Put your arm around him on this side. And you, okay, tie in there. Okay, great. Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. You ready? Get set. Push. Okay, stop. Stop before I break my neck. Okay, here we go. Okay. Okay, you guys can sit down. Thank you. Mess up my hair. Okay, now, if it wasn't for the fact that the communion table was behind me, they would have shoved me somewhere back here. But I had an advantage. I was putting my foot up there. But they had to have teamwork in order to do that. Now, it was an unfair advantage at the beginning. I'm bigger than Max. Not for long, but I'm bigger than Max. In fact, I was bigger than probably the whole front row almost combined. Stronger. Now, we have an adversary, the devil. And the Bible says we wrestle not against against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you to understand, church, that there's an adversary out there, and he is big and he is strong. And no one individual Christian can take him head on by himself. He will eat you up and spit you out. That's why the church is so important. See, a church is not just a place you come and sit in a building where they've got air conditioning in the summer when it's working and heat during the winter when it's working and where you can sit and feel comfortable. And then from there, you say, oh, that was good preaching, and you walk out and that's the end of it. That's not the way this thing works. It's a team effort. It's you gathering together and locking arm in arm, hand in hand, coming in together and going for one cause, and you're going against the your flesh, and you're going against this world, and you're going against the devil, and you're going to try and bowl them over. But that takes everyone to have a part. Striving together. Wrestling together. Working together. Now, I want you to go to another passage real quick in Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. And Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the importance of unity, why it's so important. In Matthew chapter number 12, we'll start in verse number 25. The Bible says, and Jesus knew their thoughts, he's talking about the Pharisees here, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to what?
Desolation.
And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come to you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, there's a lot going on in that passage, but I want to give you the importance of unity within a church just for a moment. I want you to understand that you're in the same fight together. And look, it's not about this person against this person and who's better at singing or who's better at teaching or who's... Look, it's all the same. You're all in the same thing together. And you're not supposed to wrestle one against another and start looking at people and having envy and jealousy. And by the way, that's a sign of carnality and it causes divisions. And guess what happens when you have divisions? It becomes desolation. And when I think of Blessed Hope Baptist Church over in Frenchtown, Montana, when I think of our church, I think, look, we need some people that are going to lock in and stay in and just yoke up together and get in this thing and wrestle together for the cause of Christ. Striving together. Striving together. Now, how are you going to do that, though? I mean, what are the things that are necessary in order to strive together? Well, let's look back at Philippians chapter 1 tonight. Philippians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 27. That's basically where I'm going to stay tonight, is right in that verse. There's a few things I think we can learn from this passage. Things that we have to have the same. Some unity in order to accomplish the task. Number one is this, we have to have the same representation, or you could put the same responsibility also. Same representation. Look at verse number 27. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Here, that word conversation extends even further than what most people would say is just manner of life. Here, that word conversation actually talks about citizenship, is what it talks about, is citizenship. It talks about being a manager of a state. Here, when we look at this particular passage, we understand what the Apostle Paul is saying here, understand a little bit about his background. The Apostle Paul was a citizen of Rome. He was a Roman citizen, and by the way, he was proud of it. He didn't shy away from that. In fact, most people that during that day, if they were a citizen of the Roman Empire, they thought, man, that's great because they were part of the most powerful empire in the world. I mean, and it came with all the perks of being part of Rome. All the things that went with it, all with the wealth and all the prestige and all the power. And you could identify a Roman citizen fairly easy. They would dress a certain way. They had a certain talk about them. All these things, the way they carried themselves, identified them as being part of Rome. Their manner of life. Now we are citizens of a whole new country. We're citizens of a place called heaven, and our king is King Jesus, and we represent him in everything that we say and do or we're supposed to. And I want you to understand, if there's going to be unity, if we're going to be able to wrestle against the flesh and, or not flesh and blood, but those principalities and powers, if we're going to conquer our own flesh, and if we're going to conquer the world, if we're going to conquer the devil, that look, you've got to understand that you and I both have this, all have the same responsibility, because we all have the same representation. See, for Pastor Jerry, some people look at him and they say, well, he's the pastor. He's got to live a certain way and do certain things. And by the way, God holds him accountable to certain things that he may not hold you accountable to, just because there's some prerequisites of being a pastor. But when we talk about the Christian life as a whole, when you break it down and you separate and say, okay, well, he's a pastor, but first he's a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, that makes him a Christian first of all. And the same requirements that are placed on him are also placed on you and placed on me. It's not just he is supposed to, or his wife is supposed to hold a certain standard and behave a certain way. You are all supposed to behave that way. And by the way, it shouldn't be something where you dread and you say, well, we got these standards at Blessed Old Baptist Church, and they want us to appear a certain way, and they want us to speak a certain way, and man, they're really crimping my style. It should be more like, man, I get to represent Jesus Christ. It's not about representing Blessed Old Baptist Church, although that's a part of it, but bigger than that is a representation of Jesus Christ himself, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty. What an amazing thing. We get to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Wow, what an amazing thing. What a gift given. It should be that when you enter into your workplace, that you're thinking about that. How you speak, how you carry yourself. You get to go to work and instead of saying, man, I'm going to the salt mine today, you get to say, praise Jesus, I get to represent him today. There's lost people around me. There's people that don't know Christ, and I get to represent him today. Young people, I know they have rules in the school and things like that. Those rules are good for you. But it's bigger than rules in a school just so you can follow in line. They're trying to teach you to be representatives of Jesus Christ wherever you go. And it's not going to do the team any good if you won't get in line in representation. Let me give you a for instance. You know, in every sport that I've ever watched, the teams have jerseys. They have colors that they wear. Right? Chicago Bulls, they wear red. Right? The Indiana Pacers wear yellow. Right? Blue sometimes. And then sometimes when they do this throwback stuff, I don't know who's wearing. Okay? But wouldn't it be interesting if when they got on the court, if Chicago was playing Indiana, if one of the players from Indiana decided, you know, I'm sick of playing for these guys. They stink. They're better than Chicago right now, I think. I don't know. I don't keep track of all that stuff. We'll just say that one of them says, they stink, man. These guys treat me. And so he walks over to the Bulls bench, and he says, hey, you guys got a spare jersey for me? Now, I would imagine that the teammates he has on the Pacers would not like that too much, do you think? Wouldn't you think they'd say, hey, you're part of our team. Get back over here. Put on our jersey. Hey, you represent us. I mean, hey, listen, get back over here. You're playing over here. But we as Christians, sometimes we behave a little bit differently that way. On Sunday, we put on our Jesus Christ jersey. We're all in. And then on Monday, we slip it off and we say, well, let me grab the devil's jersey and put it on. Or the world's jersey. Or we decide, well, you know, my flesh, it's got a pretty color, you know, pink. And so we just put that on and I'll wear my pink jersey. If you like pink, if you're a girl, that's okay. If you're a guy, Please don't talk to me about it. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We have to have that same representation, and we all have the same responsibility, and you have to understand that as an individual so you can be part of the team. If you're in here tonight, and I don't know, I don't think there's any problems this way, but if you complain about standards and complain about different rules and complain about the way things are conducted, think about what team you're on for a moment. Striving together. Not separate, together. Same representation. Tonight I want to encourage you, choose your team. Number two is this. Not only do you have to have the same representation, which comes with the same responsibility, but you need to have the same spirit. The Bible says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. Now, I was looking at this a little bit. I like to do word studies and whatnot. And here, when it talks about spirit here, it gives the idea of breath. Breathed. Something breathed out. Breathed out. Okay? Like the wind or something like that. And the thought behind it actually carries back over into the book of Genesis in chapter number 2, where the Bible says that God took some dust out of the ground and he formed man. And the Bible says that then he breathed the breath of life into him. Now what's going on? I really sat back and thought about that for a second. What does that mean in correlation to this? When you think about what happened there in the Garden of Eden, God gave his own breath, his own life to mankind at that moment. And man became a living soul and he rose up out of the dust. And from that day forward, he walked hand in hand until sin entered into the garden. But he walked hand in hand with God, but not just hand in hand. He walked in one spirit with him. Same life. The same life that was in God was in man. The same life. Yes, the same spirit. It's not like Adam had to wonder what was going on. He had God's spirit in him. They were one together in spirit. They were together that way. They were unified that way in spirit. Did you know that God wants the same today? He wants to not just walk hand in hand, but he wants us to literally breathe the same breath he breathes. That unified. Sometimes we get the idea in our Christian life, we compartmentalize things. We put church in a certain place, and we put our family in a certain place, and our job, and those type of things, and we put them on a list and whatnot. I want you to do away with your list. Just get rid of it. God is everything. There's no such thing as a list. Just make God your all in all. Just breathe the same breath he breathes. Just have the same life he has. Just live what he wants you to live, and it'll all turn out just right. You know, the day Adam walked away from God, what happened there was a separation of breath, so to speak, a separation of life. That's when everything fell apart, when other things became more important, when he decided that God wasn't going to be preeminent. His everything is all. Then disaster struck. When I look at America, and I look at the state we're in, and I understand that the Bible says that in the last days, perilous times shall come, and evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I understand that. But as far as I can tell from the Scriptures, the same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that dropped manna in from heaven, the same God that watched and helped the children of Israel walk across the River Jordan into the Promised Land, and then helped them defeat incredible foes. I mean, standing at the city of Jericho with walls like skyscrapers, and all they had to do is march around, and God takes the walls and just crumbles them down. That same God is the same God we have. People look at the times and they say, well, it's just getting tougher and harder, and it is. Maybe that means we need to be more unified in our spirit then. As a church, you need that. Breathe the same Spirit. The same God. Just get in with Him. Look, if your relationship with God is right, then your relationship in the church will be right. We all have the same book, do we not? We all have the same Word, and we all have the same Holy Spirit that dwells inside. And look, God is not an author of confusion. He doesn't say to one person, well, I think it needs to be done this way. And then he goes over to this person and says, man, they're crazy if they think it needs to be done this way. That's not how God works. He has one breath. He speaks the same thing to everybody. If you say, well, I feel the Lord led me, you need to check that. I hear that more and more. I really do. I'm just going to give you a little tidbit of what I'm seeing or noticing amongst Christian people or who claim to be Christians. Is they say, well, I believe the Lord led me. And I say, well, how did the Lord lead you? And they say, well, I feel, you know, I was praying about it and I just feel. Feel what? Feel the pizza you ate last night? You're going to feel the taser that I want to use on you right now? I don't know. God doesn't move by feelings. He moves by breath. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Breath of God. One Spirit. It's right here. One Spirit. Let's just gather around the Word of God. If it's being preached from your pulpit, then just get on board. One Spirit. One Spirit, okay? Same Spirit. Same Spirit. Same drive, okay? Same drive. That's what's going to push you on. Remember Jesus Christ, what He said? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The life. Number three is this. Same mind. Same mind. That's intellect, emotion, will. It ties right into the same Spirit as God moves in your life, He breathes in your life, and you're walking with Him, and He gives you that life. He's going to direct the way you think, the way you feel, and what you do. Now, we're not all going to be clones, are we? God made us unique. But when it comes to the church, He says we're one body. One body. That means the body has to all think the same and feel the same and do the same. It would be no good if my head was telling my arm to pick up a cup and take a drink, but my arm said, I don't think so, bud. What I really want to do is slap this guy around. And it just did its own thing. And then my mind said, okay, I want to walk this way. And one leg said, okay, I'll obey that. And the other leg said, nope. And I just do this. And if I did that long enough, some of you would come in here and go, okay, you need a white jacket. It goes like this. And a padded room, right? Especially if you ask, well, what are you doing? I'd say, well, I want to go this way, but my leg won't let me. Not much gets accomplished that way. It's funny, but that's how the church sometimes moves. The legs want to go this way. It's getting direction from the head, Jesus Christ, under the supervision of the pastor. And he's trying to push and drive. And he's going, and the one leg's going, okay. And some of the body's going, and the other part of the body's going like this. And there's nothing gets done that way. You got to have one mind about the thing. Now, any pastor is going to say this. They're not perfect. We are not popes. When we get behind here, we don't speak ex cathedra. And for those of you who have no clue what that means, just look it up, okay? But if a pastor gets behind a pulpit, he gives Scripture. And he's not contorting it, and he's giving straight from the Bible. Just follow the mind of God. It's not the mind of the pastor or staff. It's the mind of God. You've got to have the same mind. You should feel the same way about things. Look, if he's stirred up about sin, particular sins, he's just stirred up. You can tell your preacher's fired up. You ought to be fired up too. Say, hey, that's as wicked as he says it is. Or if he gets stirred up and says, hey, look, we need to build a building. And you're thinking, build another building? Are you serious? He's out of his mind. And he'll probably tell you, I'm out of my mind. But if he says on it and he gets stirred up about it and he says, look, here's what it is and we need this space and we need to get this thing done. Let that sink into your mind and let it affect your emotions. Let it get you fired up and then let it motivate you to do something about it, not just sit and say, well, that's good. I'm glad somebody else is out there slamming that hammer around. Brother Chad, go for it. Yeah. Same mind. Number four is this. Same goal. Same goal. If you're going to strive together, if you're going to come together, you got to have the same representation, the same responsibility. Everybody says, I'm going to pitch in. You got to have the same spirit, the same drive, the same breath of life, so to speak. You got to have the same mind. You got to think the same, feel the same, and do the same. But what's going to motivate you to do all that? You got to all have the same goal. What is it all about? He says in here, he says, stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's the goal. And here, faith, what it's talking about, frog jumped in my throat. Ribbit. The faith is not talking about an increase of your faith. It's talking about the spreading of the gospel, the teaching of the gospel. That's what it's talking about. The spreading of it. The whole purpose behind a church is not for it to get bigger buildings necessarily, although that's sometimes necessary, but the purpose behind the church is the spreading of the gospel. Every ministry and every person is an important part to the spreading, the furtherance of the gospel. You got to have the same goal. Look, it's not about individual accolades at all. It's not about whether your pastor gets his name printed in the Sword of the Lord, or it's not about whether you're going to be stamped with Sunday School Teacher of the Year or Bus Captain of the Universe, you know? It's not about that. It's about one thing. The faith of the gospel. That the boys and girls and the men and women that are out there outside these walls would hear the gospel, maybe some of them for the very first time, and they would come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that they're sinners in need of a great and wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Striving together. The devil's looking at you. And you look at him and you say, I got Jesus Christ. We're Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And just mow him over. That doesn't mean he's not going to fight. That doesn't mean that it's not going to be hard or tough. But it'll be a whole lot easier if everybody comes in together. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's smarter. He's faster. But he's just one devil. And if God be for us, who shall be against us? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Every head bowed and every eye closed. It's a joy to serve Jesus. It really is. I hit a few points. You're all important to the cause of Christ, every single one of you. If you're sitting here and say, well, I can't make a significant dent in anything, yes, you can. Just grab on. Just take one step at a time with everybody else and watch God mow over the enemy. But in order to do that, you've got to get on board with some things. You got to be the same in some areas. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm really struggling in this area of jumping on board of having the same representation as everybody else. You know, the things that are preached from this pulpit. I just don't know. They're just a bunch of rules to me. Look, just jump on board. Just represent Jesus. It's not about representing Pastor Jerry. It's not about representing Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's about representing Jesus Christ. And I would dare say you would want to do it in the best way possible. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I've just been struggling in that area. That's me. Look, this is not to call you out. This is not to make you feel bad. But if you're struggling, you're struggling. The greatest way to get close to God is to be transparent with Him. You say, that's me, Preacher. Would you pray for me? If that's you, if you'd slip up your hand, put it right there. I just want to pray for you. Anybody like that at all? You say, that's me. I just struggle sometimes in that. I fight that thing. Anybody like that at all? Just slip it up and put it right down. I see the hand. Thank you. I love honesty. God loves honesty. How about this? Or you have the same spirit? Are you breathing the same breath God's breathing? Are you doing it together? Or do you have your own ideas? How about the same mind? Are you going on just off of feelings, or are you getting God's word on the thing? And how about your goal? What's your goal? I mean, why do you do what you do? Why do you have the job that you have? Is it just to make money? Or is it for the faith of the gospel? Why do you do what you do? Striving together for the faith of the gospel.